first started thinking about what I wanted to speak on for my part of a time of sharing, I didn't really know where to begin. So I did what most of you all would do. I prayed about it. The word love kept coming to me. The love of one spouse, which ours is going on 51 years. The love of family and friends. So I picked up the Bible for some guidance, and after thumbing through some passages, I found myself stopping at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. And this is from the Good News translation of the Bible. I may be able to speak the language of human beings and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge and understanding all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains, but if I have no love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burned, but if I have no love, this does me no good. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. When I think about love, I think of Clarksburg, the caring and compassionate folks who are always there when you need someone, for all the love that is shown to each other, especially in hard times, for all the appreciation that is shown to the many individuals who serve on the numerous committees and ministries of our church, for the reality that God does live and through us in this church, for the keen sense of humor that we show each other even in difficult times, for stewardship, which is the giving through our talents, tithes, and gifts, for the Bible. What an awesome opportunity each of us is given through the reading of His Word. For unity and unselfishness of all our military who serve our country to protect us. For the respect our congregation shows to each other and to whoever enters through our church doors. For our youth, what an important group of young folks. You, along with all the ages of our church, are the foundation of Clarksburg United Methodist Church. I would like to close my part by reading Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8, the Good News translation of the Bible again. Your life in Christ makes you strong, and His love comforts you. You have fellowship with the Spirit, and your love, and you have kindness and compassion for one another. I urge you, then, to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble towards one another, always considering others better than yourselves. And look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but He did not think that by force He should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of His own free will, He gave up all He had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked in the path of obedience all the way to death, His death on the cross.
This morning was supposed to be a time of sharing, and I would like to share my joy and my gratitude this morning with you, the people of Clarksburg United Methodist Church. I was raised in church in Albemarle County, baptized and confirmed there. But only recently, in my increasing years, have I finally realized that As much as I like to be in charge, I am not. God is. This is His plan. It was not an accident that Lee and I came to Clarksville United Methodist Church. I needed this family of God's people. You have nurtured my soul, and you have helped me come closer to my God and my Savior. I am filled with joy and peace, with the love of God that I feel in this company. And with that, I would like to share a prayer that my mother started her daily prayers with. She would sit in her little rocking chair with her little bedside table right across from her bed for her morning prayers. And there she'd be for 20 or 30 minutes, but she would start with this prayer. And I urge you to listen to every very carefully chosen word. It's a prayer of general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen.
I want you all to know, first of all, that when I was in Bible college, I took a course in public speaking because I was a little nervous about talking. And to say I was nervous is an understatement. Instead of walking into the classroom, I walked into the men's room. And so knowing that, we'll start from there. I'd like to tell you about a morning that changed my life forever. I had grown up and gone to church and done all the things that Warren had talked about this morning in Sunday school. I had lived that life. I was doing everything the right way and thought I was good and thought that, of course, I was saved because I hadn't really broken the Ten Commandments. But I found out that life goes along, and then suddenly you get thrown into wave after wave of trouble and misery, and you find out just exactly what you have and what you don't have. And on one such disaster in my late 30s, I found out that my straw house that I had built had completely come apart, that it had crumbled, and I was left with absolutely nothing, just dead. And I walked downstairs into the exercise room, and I thought, I'll just walk on the treadmill, listen to the news, and start this day. But this was the particular day that changed my whole life completely. I walked into that room and I got on the treadmill and I reached over and turned on the television and waited for the news to come on. And instead of the news coming on, there was an evangelist speaking. And this evangelist said, right now, turn your heart to the Lord. Ask the Lord for forgiveness, and he will come into your heart. And I knew at that very moment that that is exactly what I did. My whole heart just collapsed, and I asked the Lord to please come into my heart. And in that moment, I could just feel my whole body just with this lightness and brightness, and this light was starting to come up over in the corner, and as I just stood there watching, I felt all of this despair and anger and meanness and just all the vile things that we don't like to think that we have in our body just going out of me, just out. And then replacing that came this incredible love, this love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, all the fruits of the Spirit just came into my body. And I knew, and then suddenly it just got dark over in that corner. And I knew that I had been changed and my life would never be the same. And so I was standing there and I thought, well, now what? I want to go back to where I want more light. And so I walked upstairs and I thought, I'll call the one Christian that I know and love, and that's my brother, and ask him what on earth has happened, or tell him what has happened. And so I did. And I called him at work and said, Billy, I just have this incredible story for you. And I went through the story, and I told him all about the way that this had happened. And when I finished, there was dead silence on the other end of the phone. And I waited, and I said, Billy? And he said, Mary, and his voice was breaking. He said, this morning I was driving to work just a little while ago, and he said, I had this overwhelming feeling that I needed to pray for you and to stop at the bookstore and buy you a Bible. And he said, I'm standing here, sitting here right now at the desk with my hand on that Bible. And he said, Jesus has come into your heart, and now it's up to you to go and find out what it's all about. And so I did. I went to the church and talked to the pastor, and he said, we've got a seat right for you. So I started going to that church. And one Sunday, a few months later, I was sitting there in the pew, and I heard the pastor was speaking, and he was talking about C.S. Lewis and who is Jesus. Either he was the Lord. Hang on. He was either the Lord, the lunatic. I'm sorry. He's either. Okay. Here we go, Lord. It's your turn. Well, anyway, you'll have to look it up. He was either a lunatic or a fried egg, or he was the Lord. And at that moment, when he said the Lord, it was like I got jolted right out of my body, and I thought, oh, my gosh, Jesus is God. And it was like, yes, this is just the coolest thing. So from those years to these years, I have gone to Bible college and found out everything that I possibly can find out. And as every day goes by, I find that there's this more joy in the Lord. I cannot get enough. And I'm just so delighted to still be alive to tell this story. I thought for sure I'd faint dead away, but I didn't. So praise the Lord and thank you all.
What I'd like to share with you this morning is what Clarksburg Church means to me. The church has always been a vital part of my life and that of my family. While I do not believe that you have to attend church to be a Christian, I do believe that being part of a church family strengthens our Christian life and helps us to grow in faith. When we moved to Deltaville 36 years ago, one of the most important things to us was finding a church home. We visited other churches in the area before deciding that Clarksburg was the one for us. At that time, Clarksburg was part of a two-point charge. We shared a minister with Lower Church. I remember that when we told the minister we wanted to join Clarksburg, he said, "Are you sure? Because Lower has more young people," which we were at that time. Even though our children, who were 12 and 6, were practically the only children here at that time, we felt drawn to this church. Then, as now, we felt like a part of an extended family. My children grew up in a church surrounded by so many people who love them. Many of these people are gone now. But I'm certain my children have not forgotten the lessons they learned from those saints. They chose to be married here, to have their children baptized here, and they still call this their church home. When my mom came here to live with us, she also was welcomed with open arms and immediately made to feel a part of this church family. As I've gotten older, I have come to realize even more the importance of my church family. Like one's own family, they are here to comfort us, to cheer us, to encourage us, to pray for us, to share our joys and our sorrows, and sometimes to provide us with a soft place to fall. And when I look at my list of friends, I realize that most all of them are part of this church. Among my greatest joys is the work that I'm involved in at Clarksburg. There are so many opportunities to get involved in God's work here if one chooses to. I love being a part of the choir, United Methodist Women, the soup ministry, the food pantry, the dinners that we have, the church council, the Bible studies. And I thank God for this wonderful church, which has helped to strengthen my faith through its ministries and helps me in my daily spiritual journey. I'm grateful for the many people who have played such an important part in my life during the past 36 years. My prayer is that we might always welcome others with open arms and open hearts. I hope others who come here will feel as I did, that this is where I'm needed and I want to be a part of this loving family. And may we continue to reach beyond these walls and minister to those in need in our community. I'd like to close with a passage of scripture taken from Paul's letter to Philemon, which really speaks to me. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brothers and sisters, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. May God continue to bless us as we strive to be His church. Will you join with me in singing our hymn of invitation, number 569, We Have a Story to Tell to the Nation.